in just a minute. You know, every time, actually that sounds nice with a little bit of, yeah, stay there. Every time I'm asked to speak, for some reason, it always falls on a mission Sunday. I was telling Sarah, why is that? Maybe God has put, not maybe. The church's DNA is missions, and that is God's heart. And one of the things that I had spoken from the last time that I spoke up here was about prayer. As a church, we need to pray together. Because God commands blessings when there is unity in prayer. Amen? Commands a blessing. It unites us together. When we pray together, there's so many scriptures that would show this, but I'm not going to go into it right now. But I just want us, some of you may not be able to make it at 2 p.m. to come and pray. But you're here now. Amen? You're here now. So I'm going to ask you, and you know how to pray this prayer. I'm going to ask all of us to say the Lord's Prayer together. God's heart for missions, in fact, is in His heart, but not just for mission. He is the missional man. And He had that from the very beginning, before we were old. We were all here on earth. It started way back, way, way back before the foundations of this world was laid. He had a plan to save us, a plan to restore us, to reconcile us to Him, to Himself. And His plan was to send someone, not just someone, not just an ordinary someone, but His very own for you and for me. Isn't that great? That is why the reason we gather here. And prayer is one of the things that God has actually called us to every day. Every day. Why? Because He wants to commune with us. He wants to talk to us. He wants us to talk to Him. He wants us every second of the day. You know, when I came in here, I was late. And are you guys grateful for mothers? The first thing my mom looked at me, she said, "You're late." And I said, "Wow, is that how you greet me?" And she was at the door greeting. I shall not point her out, but you all know who she is. But you know what? Because she cares for me. She wants the best for me. She wants me to be more than on time, but to be ready to bring forth the word. So thank you, Mom, for telling me, for correcting me. We don't like to be corrected. But God Himself corrected what was wrong, what the enemy has taken from us, or tries to take. He corrected it by sending His Son, Jesus. You know, I had two sermons prepped for today, surprisingly, because I said, I don't know, I'm always finishing always later and not not on time. But I said, God, I'm prepared, whatever you want to do today. And today I sense there was something deeper that he wants to do. You know, friends, as you know that I am a chaplain at a primary school. And I had a very tough week. Not unusual, but tougher than normal. But before I tell you the story of how tough my week had been, I want to tell you what happened last Saturday. Last Saturday, I organized a church gathering around the area where I live. There's one thing that God has put on my heart, that wherever I am placed, you know, that you start praying for that place where you live. So I start walking around the area, walking Wallace, my dog, and I start praying and I said, God, why are people so separated? But the dog owners are not separated. We're all united by our dogs for some reason. Except if your dog is a bad boy, forget it. You're not in the group. But for some reason, right, we're all so different. We're all living this busy world that we tend to forget what is really important or who is really important. It's sometimes the person right in front of you or next to you. We're too busy. We go into a grocery store. We come out. We don't even say hello, hi to people. Or we just go, hi, yeah, all right, cool. But we don't want to go deeper in there. And that really caught me and brought me to a place. I said, God, please save the community around my area. And I said, God, what can I do? So I go out, I do prayer walks. I meet with whoever, people that I can, and I'll just want to be that person of peace to them. I just want to show kindness. I want to show love. I want to say, God, what do you have for them? Give me a word today that I can share your goodness to someone. Please, God, show me whoever. And every time I walk out of that door with Wallace, he's there with me and he always brings someone. Always. If the person is not walking out on the street, it will be at their front door. That God will bring that person. And I just sense, God, what can I do? And he said, it starts with the church. So I boldly went and spoke to a few pastors around the area and say, would you do this? Would you come and gather and pray? You know, we have a Baptist church, a Presbyterian church. We have a Foursquare church. We have all different kinds of denominations. And they go like, what? Really? I said, yeah. Come pray. Come pray for our community. Come pray for the schools. Come pray for the leaders around the area. Pray for our mayor. I said, what can we do? And they were like, you know what they were afraid of? One pastor told me this. Rena, I was afraid that my sheep will go to another flock. And I said, thank you for your honesty. Thank you. But you have nothing to be afraid of. Nothing. So it was a few months. It started in May, June, July, and then August 17 came, which was a week before. And I have to tell you, it was the worst weather ever. Oh my goodness. And you know what was the theme that God gave me for this, for the event? It was called Breaking the Soil. If you don't know that, look in Hosea 10:12. It talks about how God wants to break the soil so righteousness could come in. You know what? And I'm like, come, let's do it. Let's do it together. And so we had a few months of preparation, and I had some of I combined the worship teams together. And I don't know if you know this, friends, but when you combine worship teams together, they don't operate well together. You know why? Because everyone thinks they know better. But sometimes we all do that, don't we? When we're put in a group situation, we always think we know better, but we don't. So it was very challenging for them. It was very hard for them. Some of them were like saying, no, I play it this way in my church. So we're gonna sing it this way. And I go like, okay, all right. But guess who had to make the decision? Hated it. They probably didn't like me for that. But you know what? This is what I wanna say. That God was so faithful. They came together. We broke bread together. The weather was so bad and more than 80 people came for this event. Hey, we're small timers, small town. We're small towners, okay? For 80 people to come, that is bigger than the church put together. And these are Christians around the area that we put out and say, we want to believe what God can do. The mayor was supposed to come, but 10 minutes before, she said, sorry, Rina, I had to attend a funeral. So I said, you go. She said, tell me for the next one. And I said, it's okay. The most important guest that was there was Holy Spirit. And then the pastors called me after, said, when can we do the next one? So my friends, God has something that He put in you, each one of you. What is God asking you to pray for? For me, I just had to be obedient. Every time Pastor Richard preaches up here and he would say, what was he say? Hear what Jesus says and do what He says. My motto is that, hey, whatever Jesus says, I'm going to do it. Likewise today. So this is what I want to tell you, that after that great event, the enemy will not sit silent to try and make my week great. He will try and throw everything at me and against me, everything you could imagine. So the final week on Friday for school, I had to go to Bindoon, so I don't only serve at Yanship, I also serve at Bindoon. So it's a long drive. Kangaroos come in between, you know? Don't you just love Australia? And you know, I had to see 4 students, and I normally do not cry. I'll listen, I maintain my professionalism in front of them, you know, take the notes, yes, advise them, whatever. But this time, it broke my heart. I hear children who, their parents do not want them. Father calling them, father saying to this one young girl, I don't want you in my house anymore, I want you to leave. At an 11-year-old girl, saying, you are the cause of my problems. You're the cause of my depression. No father should ever say that to a child. I had a beautiful Indigenous girl, and she said to me, I know Jesus because my foster parents told me about Jesus. I don't know who my father is, but my mother is in jail. One other girl told me that she hasn't seen her father for 7 years because her experience with her father is that her father made her sit outside of the house to eat and drink, but not together as a family. That sucks, guys. And I feel so helpless. I don't know what to do. And all I can do is pray. My friends, what I'm trying to say here is that, look, we all have stories in our lives. We all have traumas. We all have bad experiences with either our family members or someone, or repeated experiences that was not great. And it's one of the hardest things to shake off. Because this God's plan for you and for me was actually perfect. Perfect. But when something happens, when someone does something or something happened to you, it kind of make and altered His perfect plan. It altered his perfect plan for you and for me. And all of a sudden, we have anxiety, we have depression, we have abandonedness, we have all kinds of things that would happen to us because of that perfect plan that the enemy came and said, hey, I'm gonna try and cut this through because he knows full well your purpose. He knows full well that he has a plan for you. But somehow the enemy comes and try and distract that and try and take away. And you know what? You know what most of us Christians do? Yep, we don't really fully experience healing. We try and fix it by either taking medication or we try and just keep on going and like, it's okay, I can take it. I can do this, I can live this. I've got my God beside me. I'll be fine. I'll be all right. Yes, you will be all right. That's not a lie. But God wants to do something deeper than that. God wants to do something deeper. If you have your Bible with you, you don't have to open your Bible. I was going to say, I was asking God, are you sure you want me to do this? Are you sure you want me to read a children's Bible? Guys, are you ready for this? Are we children of God? Amen? We are, right? Yeah. I want to read this to you because I don't know where you're at. You may be far away from God. You may have something that is still weighing you down. I don't know. But what I love about the Bible, it knows no age. From an old person to a baby, if you can read, the Bible will be relevant to any one of us. But I want to read this story, and I want you to come and listen with a childlike faith. Is that okay? Can I ask for you to open your spiritual ears and your hearts to hear what God has for you? Just stop looking at your phones if you're looking at your phones. Just don't look at that. Just you and God to connect now. Is that okay? Just you and Him. So Father, I pray from the sound of my voice as I read the children's Bible, Lord, that you will speak to each one here like never before. And Father God, I pray for a revelation that we would catch, that we would get. And Lord, that it will sink deep in our souls. And Lord, that you will cause a transformation in us, not to stay the way we are. Lord, I pray that each one of us, including myself, Lord, will not walk out of here the same way we walked in. Holy Spirit, have your way in these words. Holy Spirit, have your way in our hearts. The beginning, a perfect home. In the beginning, there was nothing. Nothing to hear, nothing to feel, nothing to see. Only emptiness and darkness, and nothing but nothing. But God was there, and God had a powerful plan and a wonderful plan. God said, I'll take this emptiness and I'll fill it up. Out of the darkness, I'm going to make light. And out of nothing, I'm going to make everything. Like a mummy bird flutters her wings over her eggs to help her babies hatch. God hovered over the deep, silent darkness. He was making life happen. God spoke. That's all. And whatever he said, it happened. God said, "Hello, light." And light shone into darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. "You're good," God said, and they were. Then God said, "Hello, sea, hello, sky," and a great space opened up wide and deep and high. "You're good," God said, and they were. Then God said, "Hello, land," and there, splashing up through the oceans, came cliffs, mountains, sandy beaches. "You're good," God said, and they were. "Hello, trees," God said. "Hello, grass and flowers," and everything everywhere burst into life. He made buds bud, shoots shoot, flowers flower. "You're good," God said, and they were. "Hello, stars," God said. "Hello, sun, hello, moon." And whizzing into the darkness came fiery globes, spinning around and around, whirling orange and purple and golden planets. "You're good," God said, and they were. "Hello, birds," God said. And with a fluttering and flapping and chirping and singing, birds filled the skies. "Hello, fish," God said. And with a darting and dashing and wriggling and splashing, fish filled the seas. "You're good," God said, and they were. Then God said, "Hello, animals," and everyone came out to play. The earth was filled with noisy noises, growling, gobbling, and snapping, and snorting, and happy skerfuffling. "You're good," God said, and they were. God saw all that he had made, and he loved them. And they were lovely because he loved them. But God saved the best for last. From the beginning, God had a shining dream in his heart. He would make people to share his forever happiness. They would be his children, and the world would be their perfect home. So God, friends, I want you to hear this as if for the very first time, this is for you. So God breathed life into Adam and Eve. When they opened their eyes, the first thing they ever saw was God's face. And when God saw them, he was like a new dad. "You look like me," he said. "You are the most beautiful thing I've ever made." God loved them with all his heart. And they were lovely because he loved them. And Adam and Eve joined in the song of the stars and the streams and the wind and the trees, the wonderful song of love, the one who made them. Their hearts were filled with happiness, and nothing ever made them sad or lonely or sick or afraid. God looked at everything he made. And you know what he said? Perfect. But all the stars and the mountains and oceans and galaxies and everything were nothing compared to how much God loved his children. He would move heaven and earth to be near them, always. Whatever happened, whatever it cost him, he would always love them. And so it was, the wonderful love story began. So my friends, Adam and Eve lived happily together in their beautiful new home. And everything was perfect for a while. Maybe God is calling. Until the day when everything went wrong. God had a horrible enemy. His name was Satan. Satan had once been the most beautiful angel, but he didn't want to be just an angel. He wanted to be God. He grew proud and evil and full of hate. And God had to send him out of heaven. God is really serious about calling us. That's two calls already, my friends. Satan was seething with anger and looking for a way to hurt God. He wanted to stop God's plan, stop this love story right there. So So he disguised himself as a snake and waited in the garden. Now God had given Adam and Eve only one rule. Don't eat the fruit of that tree, God told them. Because if you do, you'll think you know everything. And you'll stop trusting me. And then death and sadness and tears will come. You see, God knew if they ate the fruit, they would think they didn't need him. And they would try to make themselves happy without him. I guess we all do that, right, friends? Even though we know him, and yet we look for something else to try and make us happy and to fulfill our needs. But God knew there was no such thing as happiness without him, and life without him wouldn't be a life at all. As soon as the snake saw his chance, he slid it silently up to Eve and said this, "Does God really love you?" I don't know whether you've ever asked that question, but I know I have. If he does, why don't he let you eat the nice, juicy, delicious fruit? Poor you, perhaps God doesn't want you to be happy. The snake's words hissed into her ears and sunk down deep into her heart like a poison. I don't know about you, my friends, but when I was growing up, when I was called stupid, when I was called dumb, and I say when I'm not good enough, that sunk deep into my very soul. And it was one of the hardest things to erase and forget. And then you question, does God love me? Eve wondered. Suddenly she didn't know anymore. And the serpent said, just trust me. You don't need God. One small taste, that's all. And you'll be happier than you could ever dream. Eve picked the fruit and ate some, and Adam ate some too. And a terrible lie came into the world and would never leave. This lie would never leave. It would live on in every human heart, whispering to every one of God's children, God doesn't love me. And it wasn't a dream, it was a nightmare. A dove flew from Adam's hand. A deer darted in a thicket. It was as if they were frightened by something. A chill was in the air. Something strange was happening. They had always been naked, but now they felt naked and wrong, and they didn't want anyone to see them, so they hid. Later that evening, as God was taking his walk, he called to them, "Children." Usually Adam and Eve loved to hear God's voice and would run to him, but this time they ran away from him and hid in the shadows. "Where are you?" God called. And Adam said, "Hiding. We're afraid of you." God asked them, "Did you eat the fruit I told you not to eat?" Adam said, "Eve made me do it." "What have you done?" God said. And Eve said, "The serpent made me do it." And terrible pain came into God's heart. His children hadn't just broken the one rule, they had broken God's heart. They had broken their wonderful relationship with him, and now he knew everything else would break. God's creation would start to unravel and come undone and go wrong. And from now on, everything would die, even though it was all supposed to last forever. You see, my friend, sin had come into God's perfect world, and it would never leave. God's children would always be running away from him and hiding in the dark. Their hearts would break now and never work properly again. God couldn't let his children live forever, not in such pain, not without him. There was only one way to protect them. "You will have to leave the garden now," God told his children, his eyes filling with tears. "This is no longer your true home. It's not the place for you anymore," God said. But before they left the garden, God made clothes for his children to cover them. He gently clothed them, and then he sent them away on a long, long journey out of the garden, out of their home. Well, in another story, my friends, it will all be over at that, and that would have been the end. But not this story. God loved his children too much to let the story end there. Even though he knew he would suffer, God had a plan, a magnificent dream. One day, he would get his children back. One day, he would make the world their perfect home again. And one day, he would wipe away every tear from their eyes. You see, no matter what, in spite of everything, God would love his children with a never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. And though they would forget, him and run from him, deep in their hearts, God's children would miss him always and long for him. Lost children yearning for their home. Before they left the garden, God whispered a promise to Adam and Eve. It will not always be so. My friends, it will not always be so. I will come to rescue you. And when I do, I'm going to do battle against that snake. I'll get rid of the sin and the dark and the sadness you let in here. I'm coming back for you, says God. And he would. One day, God himself would come. I don't know about you, but when I read this story to a young girl who doesn't know God, whom her father is the president of the Baiki, I shall not mention names. If you Google him, you'll find him. He is a dangerous man. Her mother is a drug addict. She has no way to go. But when I read this story, she was crying when she saw me, but when I read this story, her eyes were filled with hope. And she said, "Rena, it makes sense now. It makes sense now." I want to invite you to pray. And invite you to ask God, "Lord, who can I pray for? Who can I tell someone about you? Who needs to hear this good news?" Maybe it's your daughter, maybe it's your son, maybe it's your grandparents, maybe it's your mom or your dad. I believe that God will do something in this girl's life because I have been praying. You know, when we pray, my friends, God changes things, he moves things. We remember Peter in the Bible when he was imprisoned. But when people came together and pray, the angel came and visited him and set him free. That same God that did that for Peter, that same God is here today. That same God is here for you and for me. That same God is inviting us. In fact, he's spoken over our church. That be a witness. Go make disciples. Go tell them about this Savior that is so more than able to save. Amen? I'm not from Coorong, even though I used to work there. You may buy this book and I tell you, you'll be blessed. But what a beautiful way of telling who our Father is and His big plan for us. So my friends, I'm going to end in 2 minutes. The worship team can come up if you want to sing. It's up to you. But I want to say that don't just have this word go in one ear and come out the other. Let it be something real. In fact, as they sing this song, "Here I am to worship," what does it look like? What does it look like? Worship Him. Say, "God, what do you have me to do? And Lord, I want to do it. I don't know how. I've got stuff. I've got a lot of stuff. I have debts. I have stuff that happened to me and I don't think I'm the right person." God can use your brokenness to help someone heal. Amen. Let the Holy Spirit compel you to stand as we worship. Not because someone inviting you to stand, but if you truly being compelled by the Holy Spirit Himself, you pray, you worship like no other. In Jesus' name.